Hi, old-time radio lovers. This is Bob Camardo, your host at Boxcar's 7-Eleven Old-Time Radio Pod. Glad to be with you for a moment or two on this great network program. My reason for being here is to make an appeal to you, the listening audience, to help support this great programming, to make a donation of a dollar or two a month to the Radio Memories Network. And that's not to my show. It's not the Boxcar's 7-Eleven Old-Time Radio Pod. I'm not asking for that. I'm asking you to support the network itself that offers so much more than my show. Great programming like La Jazz Affair, Big Band Serenade, Yesterday USA, The Radio Detective Story Hour, Just Old Time Radio, and Sci-Fi Friday, just to name a few. You can search the internet far and wide, and you may be able to accumulate some of these programs, but you're never going to find anything as unique as the Radio Memories Network, all under one roof and no cost to you. Now it's fundraising time, and I'm asking the listeners to these superb old-time radio programs to do their share. A dollar or two, the cost of a soda, will help to defer the cost of bandwidth and the cost of putting these programs together for your listening enjoyment. You can make your contributions, ask your questions and suggestion comments by contacting directly Mr. Dennis Humphrey at Radio Memories, that's one word, radiomemories@gmail.com. Please, don't put it off till tomorrow. The network is in financial need, and to lose Radio Memories Network would be a big loss to all of us. Again, that email address, radiomemories, one word, @gmail.com. I want to thank you in advance, and now let's get on with this outstanding program.
Yesterday USA Superstation.
The Radio Memories Network welcomes you to the programs of the Yesterday USA Superstation, now available as podcasts. Sit back, close your eyes, and remember.
Hi everybody, I'm Wong Hughes, and welcome to Thanks for the Memories. Here's the Amos and Andy Show from December 24th, 1941.
We thank you. Campbell's Soup bring you Amos and Andy. And Andy received many Christmas greetings. Both boys are extremely happy and are looking forward to Christmas Day. As the scene opens now, we find Amos in the front room of his flat. Andy has just entered carrying a few packages. A small lighted Christmas tree sits on a table in one corner. In the back room, Amos's baby boy is asleep in his crib, and his little daughter is preparing for bed. Ruby and her mother have just gone out for a short while. You there?
Well, come in there, son. You look like Santa Claus there with all that stuff.
Yeah, how is your boy? How
fine,
is
fine, very good one.
Yeah, same to you. Doggone, that feel is good.
Yeah, don't look pretty.
Yeah, wait a minute. Let me lay these packages down here on the sofa.
Oh, you're making the rounds, ain't you, son?
Yeah, making the rounds, spreading good cheer.
That's it, sir.
Oh, boy, that is a pretty tree, too.
Yeah.
Got a lot of lights on there, boy.
Yeah, we saved some of them from last year, and then we got another new string this year and added on to it.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Well, we just decorated that tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Ruby and her mama is going out to take a few things to some poor people that they know here in town. They'll be gone about an hour.
Yeah, well, I'll leave these packages here.
Leave these, all of them?
Oh, sure. Here's one for Ruby. Here's one for her mama.
Oh, gee.
There's one for you right there.
Oh, thank you.
And there's a little rattle in here for your baby.
Oh, gee, where is? Look at here.
And here's a package for your oldest child, your little girl.
Oh, certainly a Santa Claus this year, Anna. Thank you so much.
Well, that's all right. I see a lot of stuff over at my place from your house.
Yeah, well, just like I told you, Andy, it ain't much, but we wanted you to know that we love you and we are thinking about you. You know that.
Oh, well, Amos, I feel better this Christmas than I ever felt.
Yeah.
By the way, when you open up your packages?
Well, the kids get up early, and, well, we all get up and start early Christmas morning. Mm-hmm. And, by the way, don't forget that you promised me this morning that you'd be here for Christmas dinner with us.
Yeah. Well, that sure is nice of you, all right, because the other Christmas dinners didn't work out so good.
Oh, it didn't, huh?
No.
Well, we want you here, so now we're going to count on that.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's swell. Yeah. Oh. Well, I got to get going, son. I got to drop in on 2 or 3 people to say hello to them.
Yeah, well, I hate to have you rush off, Andy. Don't you want to sit down a little while?
No, I'll get going, son. Just want to come by here and kind of wish you a Merry Christmas tomorrow.
Uh-huh. Well, you know I wish you one, son.
Yeah, by the way, you don't want to go with me now, do you? Drop in on some friends or something?
Oh, no, and I can't. I'm going on back now and see that the baby is covered up in the crib and say goodnight to Arbadella.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she wants to know all about Christmas. She can't wait till tomorrow.
Yeah, well, that's great, son. Well, Merry Christmas again.
Well, same to you, and thank you for the packages, Andy.
You're welcome, Amos. You're welcome. So long.
So long, son. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him, Lord of all. Well, honey, you was in bed, ain't you?
Daddy, can I turn on the radio for a minute before I go to sleep?
Well, just for a minute or two, I'll snap it on for you. There he is. We let it warm up a few seconds. We don't want to wake up baby, you know.
Oh, music never wakes him up, Daddy.
Yeah, well, now, let me straighten your covers out a little bit here.
Mm-hmm.
Here, you said your prayers?
Well, Mama had my prayers before she went out, Daddy.
Oh, that's good, yeah. Glad of that.
The Paul Taylor Chorus continues with the Lord's Prayer.
Yeah, well, now, you get under covers, honey.
Daddy, could you give some Christmas music on the radio?
Why, darling, this is the very best Christmas music you could get. This is the Lord's Prayer.
I can say the Lord's Prayer with Mama. She's been teaching it to me.
Yeah, I know she is.
What does the Lord's Prayer mean, Daddy?
Well, it means an awful lot. And with the world like it is today, darling, it seems to have a bigger meaning than ever before.
But what does the Lord's Prayer mean?
The Lord's Prayer, well, darling, I'll try to explain it to you.
Oh, will you, Daddy?
Yeah, now you lay down and listen. The first line of the Lord's Prayer is this. Our Father, which art in heaven, that means Father of all that is good, where no wrong can dwell. Now the next line is, Hallowed be thy name. That means, darling, that we should love and respect all that is good.
Oh.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That means, darling, as as we clean our hearts of all hate and selfishness and fill our hearts with love, the good, the true, and the beautiful, then this earth will be exactly like heaven.
Oh, that would be wonderful, Daddy.
Then it says, give us this day our daily bread. Now, that means to feed our hearts and minds with kindness, love, and courage, which will make us strong for our daily task.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. You remember the golden rule?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, that means that we must keep the golden rule and do unto others as we would want them to do unto us. And then it says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That means, my darling, to ask God to help us do and see and think right, so that we will neither be led or tempted by anything that is bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That means, darling, that all the world and everything that's in it belongs to God's kingdom. Everything. Mommy, your daddy, your little brother, your grandma, you and everybody. And as we know that and act as if we know it, my darling, that is the real spirit of Christmas.
Oh, that's good, Daddy.
Well, darling, I guess I ought to turn off the radio and let you go to sleep.
Good night, Daddy.
Good night, my sweetheart.
Daddy?
Yes?
Will you leave the radio on while I go to sleep?
All right, I'll leave it on for a couple of minutes, and I'll come back and turn it off, and you listen to the Christmas music. Christmas, my darling.
Tomorrow is Christmas, the day of all days when old friendships and family ties are renewed and strengthened. This year, more than ever, the real fundamental things in our life stand out from the trivial and inconsequential. The Christmas service at church has more meaning. The old words, freedom, equality, tolerance, character, take on new values. And most of all, we realize the importance in our lives of the people we like most. Some of us, just as some of you, are fortunate to have our families with us this Christmas. Some of us, just as some of you, have folks in army camps, on ships, or on foreign shore. But this Christmas, there is a greater appreciation of family ties, of friends, than in the past 24 years. We think of you as friends of ours. And as such, Amos and Andy and I, and the makers of Campbell's Soups, wish you, with special warmth and meaning, a Merry Christmas. Andy, in person, will return to you tomorrow at this same hour. This is Bill Hay, speaking for Campbell's Soups, bidding you all good night. And inviting you to stay tuned in for Lanny Ross, who follows immediately on this station.
An interview with Elizabeth McLeod, an author of a book on Amos and Andy. Hi, everybody. I'm Long Hughes, and I have a lady on who's been so well respected over the last several years, and I finally got a can to have her on the show. Elizabeth McLeod, thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, Walden, thank you very much for inviting me, Clint.
Well, you know, you are best known for writing wonderful pieces on the OTR Digest, especially about radio in the 30s and Amos and Andy. I'm curious, how in the world did that interest came about for you?
Well, I grew up spending a lot of time with my grandparents, who were survivors of the Depression. They were young adults in the early 1930s, and suffered through the anxieties of that era, and radio was a part of their life. And I spent a lot of time with them as a little girl, and I talked to them a lot and heard their stories about those days, and I became interested in that era. And one thing led to another, and I became interested in the radio aspects of it.
You recall maybe the first couple of shows? Did it take you a while to find Amos and Andy, or was that something you looked out pretty recently in your when you started to collect and look at old time radio?
Well, it's all tied in with my interest in that era. Really, you can't really read much about radio in the 30s without coming across references to Amos and Andy. And I wondered, well, what was it about this particular program that made it so interesting, that resulted in such a widespread appeal? So I began doing some reading and researching, and I found episodes, but they were the episodes from the 40s, the half-hour shows that most people are familiar with, and they didn't really come across to me as being the same program that was being talked about whenever I read about the 30s. So I began wondering, well, why is this? What happened? What's the difference? And I started doing a lot of research when I was still in my teens, and that was more years ago than I care to mention, but it's been going on ever since.
Just for the audience's sake, maybe they don't know, how in the world did Freeman Geist and Charles Carell get together, and maybe what was their first appearance on radio? Do we know?
Well, they began working together in around 1919. They were working for a company that produced home talent shows. They were never vaudeville performers. They weren't really big-time show business people at all. They worked for this company that would go around to small towns and put on shows, usually in connection with lodges or civic clubs, you know, as fundraising events. And the company would have professional directors to handle the production of the show, and local talent would actually appear in the shows, people from the towns. And Carell and Gosden were both working for this company, and they were assigned to work together in Durham, North Carolina, putting on a show for an Elks Lodge there. And they hit it off, and they began working together regularly, and they were partners in this work for about 4 years, and then they were called back to the company's home office in Chicago, where they were assigned to office jobs. They roomed together. They took a room in an apartment building together, and they just began fooling around and experimenting with different ideas, and they decided that they were going to do a song and patter act, which was very popular with radio performance of that era. Carell played the piano, and Gosden played the tipple, which was a very large ukulele, and they would harmonize and do comedy songs. And they began appearing regularly on radio at station WEBH in Chicago in April of 1924. Now, they had been working for this production company for several years, and occasionally they would do local radio appearances to promote the shows that they were appearing in or that they were producing. And their background was that they had done their first... Probably their first radio appearance was in New Orleans around 1921. We don't know the exact date. It was not an actual performance. It was simply a "hello, here we are" kind of a thing. Come out and see the show. And then they appeared occasionally on the station WLS in the early 20s, promoting shows put on by their company. But their first appearance as themselves was at WEBH. 1925, not 1924.
Elizabeth has a brand new book out, and Elizabeth, what's the title and how can people attain a copy of it?
Well, the title is The Original Amos and Andy, Freeman Gosden, Charles Carell, the 1928-43 Radio Serial. And you can order it from your local bookstore, or you can buy a copy through Amazon.com, and there's a direct link to the Amazon listing from my website, which you'll find by Googling Elizabeth McLeod and Amos and Andy. Comes up the first hit. It's probably the easiest way to point people to it because the URL is kind of long.
True. I think either Jib Wonder or Lou Jinkle, they have a direct link, and that might be another easy way to find it, just in case you...
Those links would work, yes.
Yeah. And how do you spell your last name, just in case people have no idea?
M-C-L-E-O-D.
And we might have mentioned the publisher. Another way, I guess, you can get through McFarland itself.
You can go directly to the McFarland Pub website and order there.
And I think it's McFarlandPub.com, everybody.
Correct.
They're based out of North Carolina. I don't have the 1-800 number in front of me, but it's there. Just go to that. Probably be the easiest, another easy way.
Do that. Cover price is $45, and I think some retailers have it for discount prices, but most of them are around the 45 range.
Be a great holiday gift for everybody.
I would hope so.
Any idea how long you... Well, we know your research probably was for years and years, but how long did you sit down and actually put it in words?
Well, the first thing I ever wrote about Amos and Andy was in high school. I wrote a term paper on them when I was in the 10th grade, I think. So that was, a few years ago, and then the research really kind of just continued on and off throughout that time. I actually started writing the book as a series of articles, probably about 5 years ago, and it's been steady. It took several years after that to get it into a publication form, and I submitted it to McFarland in late 2003, I think, and I presented them the final draft last summer. So it took about 5 years to actually write it.
A lot of blood, sweat, and tears.
Yeah. A lot of time spent sitting at the microfilm tour.
Oh, yeah. Now, how did they come up with the concept Sam and Henry?
Well, this was actually something that was assigned to them. They were a song and patter team, and they moved over to WG.
Here's Green Gale Players from April 5th, 1943.
Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players. The Screen Guild play tonight, Journey for Margaret. The starring players, Robert Young, Anita Louise, Margaret O'Brien, and Billy Severn. Tonight, Lady Esther presents the Screen Guild Players in Journey for Margaret. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's production of W.L. White's deeply moving story of England's war-orphaned children. It stars Robert Young as John Davis, Anita Louise as his wife Nora Davis, 6-year-old Margaret O'Brien as Margaret, and 4-year-old Billy Severn as Peter.
Sorry, Margaret. I guess I'm still not used to your calling me Daddy.
What are you writing, Daddy?
I'm writing a story.
About what?
Oh, about you and me and a couple of other people. Now, suppose you run along and play so Daddy can work.
All right, Daddy. You work hard.
Margaret just came in and talked to me. Gentle, serious, wonderful little Margaret. She's our girl now, Margaret Davis, daughter of John Davis, foreign correspondent. That's me. And Mrs. Davis, that's Nora. This really started the first day we got back to London. Nora and I had been through a lot those last few months. Poland, Norway, Holland, all the hopeless horror of the fall of France. Now back in London again, sitting in the third floor room of our hotel, we were having a drink. Nora was drinking milk.
John, I know it's sacrilege, with milk, I mean, but we ought to drink to something.
Nora, I want you to go home.
I'm sorry. Motion denied.
Oh, please go. For me. For us. Go back to New York. And have our baby there.
No, John.
Please, Nora. You saw what they did to Rotterdam. You were in France. They'll do it here, too.
I imagine they will. But they're still having babies in London. Even in Rotterdam. I can't run away from life, John. Neither can you.
I might have known you'd just make a speech.
Oh, I'm sorry, darling. I didn't mean to get maudlin. You know, I'd better have a drink of your whiskey. I've got to sober up.
That That was Nora. Brave, gallant Nora who never once complained. Not even when I had to leave her in the hotel room alone. It was about a week later, I think, my first London raid. I was out in the street with Herbert Allison, head of our London office. I guess it must have been pretty bad. The Hankels roaring up there in the dark and the ack-ack making an awful clatter.
That was close, John. Pretty rough on you to drag you out tonight.
Oh, forget it. If I didn't come out tonight, what would I write about tomorrow?
Well, what will you write about anywhere?
Meaning what?
Now, let's face it, old boy. That stuff you've been turning out is terrible. Straight out of the icebox.
Don't forget, I've got to keep a weather eye on the censor.
The censor wouldn't cut the stuff I want. The sort of cover you sent from Madrid. I'll wager those stories even made the telegraph girls cry.
Well, that was before Munich. Before Czechoslovakia. Before France.
I can't blame it on that, John. It's you. You've changed. You don't get mad anymore. Now, if you could get mad the way you used to...
A man can't go on feeling forever. There's a limit. By and by, he finds himself dead. That's why I can't get mad. I'm dead.
Somebody perhaps. Look, there's something across the way. Direct hit, I think. Come on.
Yes, somebody found a telephone. Call it in. Yes, and water lines broke. Up to it now and stand by with the ambulance.
What was it, Warren? A direct hit?
Oh, yes, sir. Direct hit it was, sir. Family in the name of Humphreys. Mother and son. Bring him a little lipper out here now. Here they are.
I'll hold him, nurse.
Thank you. Now, if we could get him to give up that little wool lamb.
I'll get it. Look, son, let me hold the lamb for you, will you? I'll give it back. Honest, I promise. That's a good fellow. Now, go ahead, nurse.
I don't think anything's broken. Shock, perhaps. Anything hurt you, son? Your arm.
No, don't hurt.
Oh, good. I'll take him along. Oh, come along, soldier. You're going to be fine.
The cowards. The filthy, rotten cowards to hit a kid like that.
What's the matter, John? Getting mad?
Oh, cut it out, Alice.
I'm sorry. What are you going to do with that lamb?
Lamb? Say, I forgot to give it back.
I'd keep it if I were you. Prop it up on your typewriter when you get back to the office.
Thanks, but I'm not going back to the office right now. I think I'll go home and look in on Nora. May I have my key, please? Room 319.
Yes, sir. I know, sir. Room 319.
What's the matter? Anything wrong?
I'm afraid so, sir. Demolition bomb. Hit a sharp angle. Hit about the fifth floor.
My wife.
Well, you see, sir...
My wife?
St. Medlin's Hospital, Bayswater Road. I think you'd better hurry, sir.
I think you can see her now, Mr. Davis. Just a few minutes, though. I gave her a hypodermic.
Thank you, Doctor.
Before you go in, one thing you ought to know. I had to operate.
Operate? Well... Why?
There was a lesion from bomb percussion. She'll be all right.
She's got to be all right.
She will be. Of course, she won't be having another baby.
You mean for a long time?
Ever.
Ever?
You mustn't let her know that yet. The full truth right now would make it worse. Do you understand?
Yes, yeah, I understand. Can I go in now?
I think so.
Nora.
Hello, Cookie.
Nora. Nora, darling.
Lean down, John. I want to touch your face.
Like this? Will this do?
Mm-hmm. For now. They gave me something and made me sleep, they said. Only it doesn't feel like sleep. It feels like dying.
Oh, dope always does that to you.
It doesn't matter. They've killed my baby. All our babies. Tomorrow's babies. The day after tomorrow's. All our babies. Forever dead.
Who told you such nonsense, Luke?
No one told me. It's true, isn't it?
Darling, please, go to sleep now.
What did I want babies for? It was just a dream. Everything's a dream.
That's the hypo working. You're very drunk, my darling.
I don't want to be a dream. I don't want to be a dream.
Nora, let go. Try to get some rest.
I want to be real. Flesh and blood. I don't want to be a ghost.
Nora, honey,
A ghost. Beautiful ghost. I'll be a ghost. And you'll be a ghost. The whole world crawling with ghosts.
Nora. She's sleeping now. You can come back tomorrow.
Thank you, Doctor.
And I'd suggest you leave that little wool lamb at home. It might make her think of things she'd rather forget.
As soon as Nora could travel, I sent her back to the States. She was so quiet and so bitter, I thought the change might help. I had to stay, of course. I had my work. Maybe Allison was smarter than I knew. He asked for some articles on the Rizik Children's Home. It was there I found an old young friend that kept a promise I had made.
Mr. Davis, you're sure it's the same boy?
I was sure of it when I saw him yesterday. That's why I brought his lamb. It's a bit ragged, a little on the depressing side.
That doesn't matter. It will make a link with his past. It might get him to talk. He scarcely said a word since he came to us.
Here he is, Miss Strauss.
Oh, thank you, Denny. Come in, Peter. I want you to meet John Davis. Well, Peter, have you lost your tongue?
Oh, that's all right, Miss Strauss. Peter, I'm glad to see you again. I brought you something that belongs to you. A nice woolly lamb.
No!
But I promised I'd give it back. He's an old friend of yours.
My lamb?
The same one. Here.
Lamb. You ran away, lamb. Oh, lamb.
Thank heaven.
He's an awful lamb. Awful! He spoils his soup and throws his spoon down the pipe and wets his knickers. He's awful. Oh, lamb.
And we'll never take him away from you again, Peter. Never. Now take him upstairs and get ready for tea.
Yes, we go.
Goodbye, Peter.
Oh, no. You come too.
Well, some other time. I'll be seeing you.
You sure? You promise?
Of course I promise.
All right. Come along, lamb. We go, too.
Poor little devil.
He likes you. It appears you've become something of a link yourself. Yes?
I was told to ask for Miss Strauss.
I'm Miss Strauss.
I'm Mrs. Harris, and this is Margaret. I'm her foster mother, her latest foster mother, that is. There were two others before me, but I'm afraid none of us could handle the child.
I'd rather we discussed it alone.
Oh, little Margaret and I have no secrets. It's just that she won't talk, or eat her food. And nobody's been able to pry her loose from that incendiary B-O-M-B.
I'm sure if you'll just leave her with us.
Oh, she does that curious thing all day long. Always rubbing her hands into her eyes like that.
Yes, I see. I believe I know how
to... Oh, not that we don't think it was a privilege, you understand. My husband and I both felt it was...
Good day, Mrs. Harris.
Oh, well. Goodbye.
That woman is worse than a raid.
And much more dangerous. Well, Margaret, we're glad to have you here.
Just stands there and rubs her eyes.
Yes. Margaret, would you like to cry? Would you like to cry, dear? You can, you know. You can cry if you want.
You won't smack me? You won't smack me if I tell her?
Why, of course not. Of course not. We never spank little girls. If you feel like crying, go on and cry. That's it. That's it, Margaret. Go ahead and cry.
I really ought to be getting along, Miss Strauss. I'm way overdue at the office.
You've been wonderful with the children, Mr. Davis.
Well, having tea was fun, but giving them a bath, that's a little out of my line.
They like you. I told them you'd come in to say goodnight. Right in there.
Well, I... Children, you still up?
Bye, Mr. Davis.
Peter, why aren't you asleep?
You're not asleep.
Well, 6:30 isn't my usual bedtime. Now, go to sleep. You too, Margaret.
I want my imagine bomb.
Well, there it is, right by your cot.
The plane's coming. A bomber.
No, it isn't. It's just our guns chasing the bombers away.
Sounds like a bomber to me. Oh, God, take my love away. Oh, love.
He's going to sleep, Margaret. You go to sleep, too.
Is it a German plane?
No, it's one of ours.
Is it dropping bombs now?
No. No, it's going away.
No?
Yes, now. You hear? It's going away.
Good. I don't like German planes.
They won't hurt you if I can help it.
You sound awfully mad.
I am awful mad. But not at you. Now, go to sleep.
Will you sleep here, too?
Well, if you want me to.
I want you to. You didn't say your prayers.
Well, I'll say them later.
I want you to say them now. I want you to say your prayers now.
Dear God. Dear God, take care of Nora and Margaret and Peter and all the others. And me. Please keep me mad, God. Please keep me mad.
And so the curtain falls on the first act of Journey for Margaret, starring Robert Young, Anita Louise, Margaret O'Brien, and Billy Severn. Before the curtain rises on the second act, a word from our hostess, Lady Esther.
I have always said there are no truly unattractive women. There are only women who don't know how to make themselves look interesting and exciting. Let me tell you about a little incident that proves my point. A woman came into a room full of people one day, and no one even noticed her. She looked so drab, so plain. We got to know each other rather well during the evening, and I offered to prove to her that the right makeup could transform her appearance. So we went into the dressing room, and I removed all the heavy powder that made her skin seem dry and hard. Then I took a nice clean puff and carefully powdered her face and neck with Lady Esther powder. She could hardly believe her eyes as she saw her skin take on a look of radiant new life and freshness. "Why, my skin looks so much younger," she said. "And this powder even makes my eyes look brighter. Or do I just imagine it?" I told her no, it wasn't her imagination. I told her that Lady Esther face powder is deliberately planned to be flattering to the skin, the hair, the eyes. I told her I used hurricanes, twin hurricanes, to blow the powder and color together instead of just mixing them in the usual way. And I explained that it was this hurricane blending that made Lady Esther face powder new in texture and new in shade. A face powder that has made millions of women look more youthful and more attractive. Well, this time when she entered the room full of people, many eyes turned in her direction, admiring her. And I knew I had proved beyond the question of a doubt that Lady Esther face powder had transformed her appearance.
And now the curtain rises on the second act of Journey for Margaret, starring Robert Young as John Davis, Anita Louise as his wife Nora, Margaret O'Brien as Margaret, and Billy Severn as Peter. As the days passed, I saw a lot of Margaret and Peter. And when Allison decided to send me to the States for a vacation, I cabled Nora asking her if I could bring the children home with me. When she didn't answer my cable, I phoned. Allison and I waited hours for the call to get through, and then... Hello? Yes, I'm ready. Hello, Nora? Nora?
Yes, John. It's me. Oh,
gosh, I'm glad. You didn't answer my cable.
Well, I just got it, John. I've been away in the country. I haven't been feeling so well.
Nor I know you. You're not trying to get better.
Well, maybe I wasn't, but I am now. Oh, John, it's a wonderful idea. I'm so excited.
I know, but which one, the boy or the girl?
Oh, darling, you can't ask me to decide.
Well, you can't ask me either. If you knew them, Nora...
Oh, then, darling, bring them both.
Both? Are you sure?
Of course.
I mean, really sure?
Oh, John, dear, come home and find out.
Oh, Cookie, you're wonderful. I'll cable you tomorrow. Allison, she said yes, she wants them both.
So I surmised. Now all you have to do is to get them passage.
You see, if I can get them on my plane to Lisbon, we can take a boat to New York.
No, I'm sorry, Mr. Davis. I'm afraid it's hopeless.
Hopeless?
Your plane is booked to the teeth. So is every plane for weeks.
We're just two little kids. We could squeeze them in. We'd sit in the aisle, the washroom, the... Look, Miss Fleming, why can't I take them as my luggage?
It's certainly irregular, but I might...
You could?
I think so. But then you're allowed only 40 pounds.
Well, that's not enough for two kids. Maybe not enough for one. But suppose they're both under 40 pounds. I could take one and get another passenger to take the other.
If you can persuade them, you're a genius. I'll give you the name.
Miss Fleming, I've never seen you before. Perhaps I'll never see you again. But I love you. I'll love you all my life. I know it's a strange request, Mrs. Bailey, but I've tried all the other passengers and been turned down. I'll make it up to you for everything you have to leave behind. If you take this child...
Mr. Davis, I'm going to live with my daughter in Canada. I have no one else left. My husband and my son.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It isn't easy to choose one 40-pound package that will represent 50 years of living. Those few things I can't give up.
Well, you've been very patient, Mrs. Bailey. Thank you, and I do understand. If one of them was just over 40 pounds, Miss Strauss, if I just didn't have to choose.
But they're both under 40 pounds, and you do have to choose.
Eeny, meeny, miny, moe. This one stay, this one go. I can't.
Then I must make your decision for you.
You?
Yes, I'm used to it. Here we must make decisions every day. You wait here. You will know which one in a minute.
Fine spot to be in. I didn't like them both. They weren't so sweet. One of them didn't like me.
Mr. Davis?
Yes, Margaret?
Judy said to tell you it's a girl.
A girl? Margaret, darling. Oh, Margaret, darling.
I hope it's the right one, Mr. Davis.
Could there be a wrong one?
Margaret! Margaret!
Does he know?
I tried to explain. He's so attached to her.
Margaret goes away. I go too.
I wish it were that easy, son.
But I want to go too with my Mr. Davis.
Well, look, Peter, you'll be having a lot of fun. You'll go to live somewhere in the country, maybe. There'll be horses and cows and sheep and... real live lambs.
Don't walk.
I'll send you some presents, too. A nice new teddy and maybe an elephant.
Don't walk.
Of course you do. I'll send them to Trudy for you.
Don't walk.
All he wants is that little ragged lamb of his. Look at the way he holds on to it.
I know. Peter, I'm leaving you, but it isn't because I want to. I like you, Peter, and someday I'll come back. Someday soon.
It's getting late, Mr. Davis. You don't want to miss that plane.
Yes. Peter, will you say goodbye? Please, Peter. No, wait, don't leave like that. Peter, wait.
Forgive me. I think it's better so.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Besides, I... Well, you said yourself it's getting late. Well, you better be going. Goodbye, Trudy.
Goodbye. I only wish you could be taking both of them.
There's the plane. There's the plane, Daddy.
What did you call me?
Daddy. Won't you be my daddy when we get to America?
America and everywhere else.
I want to go to America right now.
Well, then we better get aboard. Unless you've got a secret pair of wings.
No, Daddy. I haven't got no wings. Margaret! Margaret! Look, Daddy. Look. It's Peter.
Peter?
Now, I'm going through with my Mr. Davis.
Peter, how did you get here? Who brought you?
I did, Mr. Davis. I found I could do without that 40-pound package after all.
Mrs. Bailey, I don't know what to say.
Well, then don't say it. Somehow after you left, I never felt more lonesome in my life. Up to the last moment, I was resolved. But then I made the mistake of calling your office, and almost instantly there was a lady at my house with a child, a Miss Strauss.
Mrs. Bailey, this is a wonderful thing that you're doing.
My son was in the RAF. Now, shall we go aboard?
I guess this is almost the end of the story. By plane to Lisbon and by boat to New York. We're coming up the harbor now, and I ought to take the youngsters out on deck. New York at night is something they'll remember all their lives. Something I'd rather like to see again myself.
Daddy, look at all the stars in America. It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
No, those are the lights of New York City. The biggest city you ever saw.
What's it got lights on for?
To light up the city, just like... Didn't you children ever see a city with its lights on?
No. What's it got its lights on for?
Well, because that's the way all cities look when they're not afraid of being bombed, when they're not right in the war.
Isn't America right in the war?
Well, only a few days now.
Daddy, we stopped. There's a lot of people getting on in that little boat.
Newspaper man like Daddy.
What's it got its lights on for?
Well, Peter, you see...
John! John H. Davis.
Nora!
I chisel my way under the press box.
Oh, darling.
Oh, Mr. Davis. And Mr. Davis, Jr. And Margaret, oh, golly.
We saw the lights. All the lights are on. No, they're not. They're going out.
Out? Nora, what's that, a blackout?
Yes, John. New York's blacking out.
The lights are going out.
Are you frightened, Margaret?
No, Margaret's not frightened. But what's it putting the lights out for?
They're putting them out. They're putting them out because all the lights of all the cities of the world must go out before any of them can go on again.
Will they go on again?
Yes, dear. Just as soon as the war is over.
And when they do, not anything, not anyone will ever put them out again.
Will I see?
Yes, Margaret. You'll see.
Thank you, Billy Severne, Margaret O'Brien, Robert Young, and Anita Louise for your grand performances in Journey for Margaret.
Well, Mr. Bradley, it's always a pleasure to appear on these programs for the benefit of the Motion Picture Relief Fund. But tonight, the pleasure was double for me by having had the opportunity to work with two such talented children as Margaret O'Brien and Billy Severne. Most of us could learn a lot about acting from them. In just a moment, we'll be back to tell you about next week's exciting show. But first, a word from one of our foremost beauty authorities, Lady Esther.
Thank you, Miss Louise. These are very busy days for most of us. And you know that's one of the reasons so many women are changing to Lady Esther face powder. It stays on so long and stays so fresh and so flattering that busy women don't need to keep stopping and retouching their makeup. But that's only one of the reasons. I just wish you could read the many letters I get. Some women say they never saw such exciting powder shades. Others are thrilled by the way Lady Esther Face Powder hides little lines and blemishes.
And so many women write and tell me my powder makes their skin look softer and more youthful. Now, if you could see how Lady Esther Face Powder is made, you'd know why it's so much more flattering than ordinary powder. First, it's just mixed in the usual way. But then you would see something happen to Lady Esther Face Powder which happens to no other powder. You would see it blown by hurricanes. Color and powder blown together at terrific speed. And you would see it come from this patented twin hurricane blending, a miracle of smoothness. The colors so perfectly merged that the shades are a lot more interesting and exciting on your skin. Just try Lady Esther Face Powder and see why more lovely women now use it than any other kind.
Next week, the Lady Esther Screen Guild players will present Pittsburgh. It will star Marlena Dietrich, Randolph Scott, and John Wayne. Be sure to listen. Robert Young will soon be seen in Slightly Dangerous. Billy Severn can soon be seen in Man Down Under. Margaret O'Brien is soon to be seen in Dr. Gillespie's Criminal Case. All Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer productions. Anita Louise recently appeared in the play Mr. and Mrs. North. Music on tonight's program arranged and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. To save materials, buy the larger size of Lady Esther face cream. Thank you. Good night. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That was the Screen Guild Players from April 5th, 1943. I'm Walter Hughes, and may the good Lord Jesus Christ bless you. And this is Yesterday, USA.
Hi, this is Bill Bragg, and if you need a good announcer, don't hire me full-time, 'cause now I'm working by the word.
Words spoken for sale or rent, attached to email and quickly sent. No agents or union dues, Bill Bragg is one cool dude. Send your copy via email or fax. He'll record it and send you the tracks. Bill Bragg's the best you've heard. He's king of the word.
Putting me to work for you is as easy as 1, 2, 3. Start out by faxing your copy to 972-889-2-FAX. Then dial 972-889-TALK and listen. If you like what you hear, I'll send it by email. You can even pay online with a credit card.
Voiceovers or SOTs, his big deep voice is guaranteed. All the others come in second or third, Bill Bragg is king of the word.
Prices start out at 25 cents per word with a minimum of $50.
Hi, this is Frank Brzee from the Golden Days of Radio. Over the years, I've seen most of the famous radio programs come and go. As a matter of fact, I was happy to participate in hundreds of them. Well, having worked in this medium for many years, I decided to share some of my memories. So I wrote a book titled Radio's Golden Years, A Visual Guide to the Shows and the Stars. And a visual guide it is. It's got 254 of your favorite old-time radio shows, from the Aldrich family to X-1. It's an easy-to-read reference book, for you see, it has one show on each page, illustrated by Bob Lyons. Each show has air dates, networks, announcers, stars, guests, sponsors, and popular catchphrases. Remember, 'Tain't Funny, McGee? That's from Fibber, McGee, and Molly. or Eyes Regusted from the Amos and Andy programs. And the foreword is by the noted radio writer-producer Norman Corwin. He points out some of the interesting facts in the book, such as comedian Jack Benny was the only person to have a top-rated show on both NBC and CBS, or that Duffy never appeared on his own program, Duffy's Tavern. If you're an old-time radio fan, you'll want this book. It's a full 8.5 inches in size, softcover coffee table book. The cost is only $25, including priority mail, postage, and shipping. The Man with a Million Friends swears by the book. So, if you have any doubts, just ask Bill Bragg. It's radio's golden years, and the price is just $25 postpaid. Send your order to Golden Radio, Post Office Box 1222, Hollywood, California, zip 90027. That's Golden Radio, Post Office Box 1222, Hollywood, California, zip 90027. Trust me, you'll be glad you did.
Yesterday, USA, Superstation.
Well, hello, everybody. Bill Bragg, the Man with a Million Friends, right here on the radio once again on the tail end of tape number 7 for this, the two-week period that began on the 13th day of February. Happy Valentine's Day, everybody. Hope you and yours are having a great holiday. And I want to remind each and every one of you that we do indeed have a live broadcast every night. That's tonight and every night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 7 nights a week. And don't forget the big new lineup on Sunday nights. Dr. Michael Beale will be coming on early so that we can make room for Reps, the radio enthusiast of Puget Sound. Our good friend, Mr. Brian Haygood, will be coming along with first-generation copies of old-time radio shows, and the quality is unbelievable. You may even want to record them, because you've never heard anything like them. And we want you to keep on hearing us, so why don't you do a little something to help us keep on keeping on? This is our 23rd year. Don't make it the last. Visit the website, yesterdayusa.com. That's www.yesterdayusa.com. Find out how to help us and then do it today. Remember now, we're dependent on you.